Well, good evening. I think this is probably the third time in a row I start a series. I don't know why the cycle just came back again. Well, the good thing is I can say whatever I want, so the next speaker will follow me, right? You remember two series ago that we have that fictionist character? You remember the name? You remember? right, Paula, right, yeah. So I enjoy that, yeah. So this evening, we are going to start another series. Let's think of a time when you don't feel like doing something. At that particular moment, what is the first thing coming into your mind? If you want to tell your parents, maybe your spouse, your friend, I don't want to do something, you probably give some reason, right? The reason why you don't want to do something, you don't feel like to do something. So let me give you some example of some of the reasons. First, top 10 reasons students don't do homework. I'm sure many of us will be familiar. Well, the classic one, I'm sure we can all recite this, is my dog eat my homework or whatever, right? But that is too old-fashioned. Nobody trusts that. So now I heard that the more updated is that Wi-Fi at home wasn't working. Sorry. Okay, take that. What about the next one? Top 10 reasons why kids hate vegetables. I don't know whether that happens in Asian family because we are all forced to eat, right? Broccoli or bok choy or whatever, right? But let me list some of the, it's maybe from American. One of the things kids don't like vegetables is the texture. They said it's a little crunchy or a little mushy. Okay, so that's why they claim that the kids don't like, or maybe because of the bitter taste, maybe because they don't cook, didn't add enough sugar or whatever. Or actually, kids don't like veg because the parents didn't eat vegetables, so they can't really blame the kids because the parents didn't eat that. So that is some of the reason why kids did not like vegetable. And how about the third list? Top 10 reasons you don't exercise. I'm sure we can give more than 10 reasons, right? For example, people say, I'm too stressed, can't do it. Or I'm too tired, usually, right? Or I don't have time. To be fair, yeah, I think those are reasonable, you know. You probably heard too many of that, right? But let's think about a Christian version. When Christian asks about reading the Bible, Campus Crusade for Christ, organization in the States, actually, they did a kind of a survey and came up with something called the top 10 reasons you are not reading the Bible. You are not reading the Bible. And here are some of them. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm not religious. I can't get past Genesis. In case you don't know, Genesis is the first book, right? The Bible is boring. I can't understand it. I don't have time. The Bible is outdated. The last one, I think, I like that. People say, I just don't want to do it. Okay, so this is the top 10 reasons. Campus Crusade find out about that. So while most people have no problem agree that the Bible is an important book, right? Nobody will disagree that. And why most people in the church would respect the Bible as a holy book. But by and large, most people don't read it. That's the issue. And because we don't read it, some people use the term, actually, we become a nation of biblical illiterate. It's a big term. I don't even want to show it. It's about, you don't read the Bible, so you don't, illiterate means that you don't read, right? So the biblical illiterate is that people don't read the Bible. Another organization called the Lifeway Research Study also conducted another survey a few years ago. And this study find out that while Christians claim to believe the Bible is God's word, unfortunately, Christians are not reading it. The survey finds that while 40% say that they read the Bible at least once or twice a month, 20%. One in five said that they never read the Bible. Those are the people go to church. So those are not just anyone out in the market, right? So one in five claim that they never read the Bible. And because we don't read the Bible, we have become a nation of biblical illiterate. Houston, we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. So starting from this evening, we'll be starting a new series called Words to Live By. We'll be tackling together some, you might say, basic, fundamental issue or question about reading the Bible. Unlike reading a textbook or a cookbook, I don't know whether you like reading cookbook. Recently, I find out in our neighborhood, you know, in Vancouver, there's some expensive cookbook sold by restaurant. You know, wow, those are $35 from some famous restaurant, but I don't have money to buy it. Besides reading textbook or unlike reading textbook or cookbook, what should be our attitude in reading the Holy Book? The Holy Book. And for this evening, let's ask a very honest question. Have you ever wondered why we read? Why do we ask you, tell you, force you, encourage you to read the Bible? Why? You know, well, we know this God's word, but so, you know, how many of you drive, right? How many of you will read your car manual? Now they don't even have a real manual. Now everything is online, right? Even Apple, I don't think if you buy an iPad, they don't even give you any manual, right? You don't need that, right? You survive, you know, you still know how to do things, right? So as for this evening, so why we read? And have you ever wondered if we claim to believe in God and do not read His Word, what will be the consequence? Or if there is a consequence, if we believe in God but we don't read His Word. So let's take a look. For the past few weeks, we have been studying the life of Moses, right? At least 4 weeks already. But for some reason, tonight, we're going to mention Moses one more time. Well, but not actually Moses, but it's Exodus. One more time, we'll go to Exodus story. So let's start Exodus 19, 3 months after God's people left Egypt. On the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came to the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain. Okay, you can imagine, wow, this is quite spectacular. You know, they were encamped not just in the riverside, but in front of a mountain. And after 3 days, there came a special encounter. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightning, and a thick clouds on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Wow, the setting is pretty special. And then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. Wow. And they took the stand at the foot of the mountain. This is the setting that we are going to study. At the beginning of the next chapter, chapter 20 of Exodus, it says God spoke all these words. God did so in such a way that all people could hear. Okay. And we recognize that this is the Ten Commandments. So this is what the Lord declared. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. This is the beginning of the Ten Commandments. You probably have heard, maybe if you are from Kapod, you probably know more than just, this is the first one, right, out of the Ten, right, the Big Ten. So here, the Lord demands an exclusive loyalty. There, you should have no other gods before me. It's quite clear, right? And as the true God of heaven and earth, He cannot and will not tolerate the worship of any other gods. Well, that makes sense, right? That's quite clear. Let's continue. Verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them." At the time of the history, if you go back a little bit, at the time in Egypt or in the Near East, the god of Egypt were often associated with different aspects of creation. Those gods, little gods, were often worshipped through an object that represented them. So at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, God spelled out very clear. And as people of God, the Israelites should refrain from crafting an image of anything for worship. That was clear, right? But as the story unfolds in Exodus 24, we saw that the people did not just receive God's instruction, actually. They also agreed to obey. So that's a good news, right? Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice. Yes, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's pretty good. And Moses took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Wow, perfect. I think, wow, I'm sure God will be glad, you know, at least, okay, they have this response. And furthermore, the people did not just agree to obey God's word. They even make a special covenant with God. Verse 8, and Moses took the blood and threw it to the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made you in accordance with all these words. So there's also kind of a special ceremony, not just reading, teaching, but also a ceremony to confirm their conviction. So we can tell that at the beginning of this Exodus journey, the Israelites were pretty serious, right? About God, about God's word as well. And after this, on the top of the Mount Sinai, the Lord continued to speak to Moses. Moses entered the cloud and went up to the mountain. We probably heard about all those stories, right? And Moses did not just go there for an hour or a day, but actually 40 days and 40 nights. Well, that is a pretty long time. And while Moses was meeting God face to face on the mountaintop, well, I think this is a very special moment, right? Something unfortunate happened at the foot of the mountain. Let's fast forward to Exodus chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron, which is Moses' brother, and said to him, up, make us gods, who shall go before us? As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know where he has become of him. Just imagine, right? For us, we know, okay, 40 days, 40 nights. Okay, at least we know, right? For them, they didn't know. They were just keeping, okay, 1 day, 10 days, 20 days, 40 days already, Aaron. So what should we do? We just keep waiting, you know? This is a waste of time, right? So they complain. They were not patient. And then they react. And obviously, what the people had done here, they want to make some gods so that they can lead them. This is, their request was out of accord with both the first and the second commandment we just read, right? And although they had made a promise to God that all that he has spoken, they will do, they will be obedient. We just read that 5 minutes ago, right? In this moment of uncertainty, instead of seeking the true God, the Israelites chose to worship something else. Something else. They chose to worship a golden calf, a god of their own projection. They didn't make other things, but maybe because of their culture in Egypt, somehow they just, someone have some idea, hey, how about we make a calf? And they, yeah, that's good, so let's do it. So eventually, that idol was created. And at that moment, God's people, instead of obeying God's law, they broke the covenant. by making and worshiping the idol. And let's take a look at Aaron. Facing all the demands of the people, instead of taking a stand for God, he's supposed to be the leader, right? Even though, well, when Moses was gone, he's like an acting director or acting leader, right? Aaron gave in. He gave in. To our surprise, Aaron seems to be indifferent of all that the Lord has said, right? The Ten Commandments, the promise. Yeah. And we have just read. God said very clearly that they shall have no other gods. They shall not make for themselves any image. They shall not bow down to any image, right? We were clear, right? They were supposed to be clear. So instead, as the leader of the people, Aaron asked the people to take off their golden rings. And then it was Aaron himself who used a graving tool and make a golden cup. You know, there's no excuse, you know. Aaron cannot blame other people, you know. He is the one who actually, you know, created this golden cup. When God's people become indifferent to His word, they are in danger of idolatry. When God's people become indifferent to His word, they are in danger of idolatry. And unfortunately, this does not only apply to Israelites thousands of years ago. In the year 2023, if we claim to believe in God but do not read His word, we are also in danger of idolatry because we may be worshiping a God of our own projection. Let me repeat again. If we claim to believe in God but do not read His word, we are also in danger of idolatry because we may be worshiping a God of our own projection. It is only through His word that God reveals Himself to us, right? And without God's word, you can claim that you love God, you know, you love Him so much, you can sing many love songs to God, but it may be just a God of your own projection. It may be just a God of your own imagination. Let's give you another kind of survey or some stats again. The Bible Society, not in Canada, but in United Kingdom, has surveyed British children about their Bible knowledge some years ago. It was found that many could not identify some common Bible stories. Let me ask, or let's take a look. Okay. Almost 60% did not know that Jonah, right? Being swallowed by the great fish is in the Bible. You would say, no way, you know, everyone from Kapos know that, right? And can you believe that they even have some ridiculous situation or some findings here? 27% think that, let me read it, make sure I read it wrongly. 27% think that Superman might be a biblical story. And I first read, I think, are you sure? You know, well, that is what I read, okay? I hope it's not fake news, so let's trust that that was real. That was from the survey. And more than one third believe the same about Harry Potter, okay? Oh, one more. And more than half believe that, okay, maybe it's British, right? The Hunger Game may be from the Bible, okay? Well, this is the line, if you remember tonight, okay? Okay, well, the British people are a little different compared to us. I'm sure most Kapos people, you know, in our church should be better, right? I hope. So without God's word, we may be creating a God of our own image, of our own imagination, of our own projection. Okay, let me give you two more, I would say, realistic example. Okay, those British survey, you know, you think maybe a laugh, but, you know, it was real, yeah. Okay, let's take the phrase, God is love. Okay, just three simple words here. I'm sure no one would deny that this is true. Yeah, that is the biblical God, right? Yes, undeniably is a loving God, right? But, there's a but here. If we only cling to a God who is loving and totally ignore other attributes of the biblical God, there is a problem. Just imagine that we believe a God who is only love. This Mr. Nice Guy would welcome anyone to heaven, regardless what you believe, what you do not believe at all. And in theological terms, I want to give you one term. It was coined is that universal salvation. If this is a God like that, the Mr. Nice Guy, welcome anyone to heaven, regardless of what that person did or did not do. This is called universal salvation. This doctrine stressed that all sinful and alienated human souls, because of the divine love and mercy, will ultimately be reconciled to God. Not sure how, but this is what they claim, universal salvation, and no repentance is required. This is a nice idea. This is quite a generous idea, I would say. But is it what God is like in the Bible? It's nice, it's generous. But is it really what God was described in the Bible? From the Bible, as we know that, God is love, yes. He is merciful, yes. He is forgiving. But Bible also tells us that God is holy, God is just, God is sovereign, God is powerful. And without a biblical and a truthful view of who God is, we may be worshiping a God who is just like Santa Claus, who like to make everyone happy. But is that what the Bible said? If we claim to love God, but not His word, we are in danger of idolatry, worshipping a God of our own projection. Let me repeat again. If we claim to love God, but not His word, we are in danger of idolatry because we may be worshipping a God of our own projection. I'll give you one more example. Besides God is love, let's take another phrase. How about God loves me? Imagine if a person take the idea to the extreme, okay, hopefully no one will do that, and believe that God only loves and cares about her. What would happen? She would likely ignore the truth that His love is for everyone. And if she thinks that she is the only beloved person of God, she may think that she is the most important person in the world and ignore the needs of other people. And if we read the Bible, we understand that in Romans chapter 2, it mentioned that God is a God who does not show favoritism, right? So God loves everyone equally. So it is through His word that God reveals who He is. It's not just our own imagination. So once again, if we claim to love God but not His word, we are in danger. I don't say 100%, but it's a danger that is idolatry. We might be worshipping a God of our own projection. So this is, I really want you to grasp that in the beginning of our series, right? Why we read, right? You know, there are so many reasons, you know, just why we eat vegetable. I'm sure your parents will tell you 100 things, right? But for Bible, yeah, this is the danger. But you may ask, okay, I understand, okay, but what can we do? Is there anything, if we don't want to worship a God out of our own projection, how can we avoid, being indifferent? Let me give you two directions this evening. If you have not done so, let me invite you this evening, June 2023, right, to start a new habit, a daily routine to read the Bible. And when Ed mentioned to start a new daily routine, I'm sure the first thing you might tell me is that I'm too busy, right? Just like you don't do exercise. But let me point out one thing. Let's be honest. How much do you spend time each day on the screen? If you don't know, you can check it. You know, the phone will tell you, right? And according to the stats, in 2015, let me give you another stat. Oh, too bad it's from Americans. The American teens averaged 6 hours and 40 minutes of screen time each day in 2015. In 2019, it became 7 hours and 22 minutes. And after the pandemic or whatever, 2011 is 8 hours and 39 minutes. But you may say, hey, that's nothing. My screen time is 12 hours, maybe 14, maybe. I don't know. I don't need to tell me, but I'm sure you say, oh, 8 hours, it's okay, you know, it's not too bad. But let's be honest. Let's take the screen time. Okay, assuming everyone here, 8.5 hours is our average or whatever, right? 8 hours and 8.5 hours is 500 minutes. If we kind of redirect 4%, no, I'm not going to ask for 20% or even 10%. Just 4%, not even 5%. I do some math. So 4%. If we redirect these 4% of our daily screen time to read the Bible, guess what? It will be already a good, solid 20 minutes. Not bad. Just think about that. 500 minutes of screen time, you just sacrifice or whatever, 4 minutes out of that, it will be a good 20 minutes. And then you can use that to read the Bible. I'm not going to ask you to read the Bible for an hour or even half an hour. Just 20 minutes. 4%. I think it's possible, right? So turning screen time to sacred time. Turning screen time to sacred time. I encourage you to start. You can start even right tomorrow. 20 minutes a day, I'm sure it is totally possible. It's totally achievable. Do you agree? Okay, if you agree, let's move on one more step. What do I do in this 20 minutes? Plan. We need to have some plan. So my advice is that we need to plan to win. We need to have a plan and then we plan to win. We need to avoid some random reading. I don't know whether you have tried. Okay, one day you're just bored. You pick up a Bible and then you flip to, okay, maybe Psalms, and then you read something, you know. Okay, once in a while, it might be a good, better than nothing, but we can do better. So no random pick and choose approach, right? Think about, okay, just want to give you an example. Okay, plan to win. If you want to prepare your first 10K run in September, just imagine, what will you do? You won't just do nothing and until September, you go and run. Nobody would do that, right? You would plan ahead about how frequent you would run each week. Maybe you will watch your diet and then you will consult, you know, some YouTube video about how to start your first 10K run, right? So in 3 months' time, you'll be prepared to run the East Side 10K on September 24th. You know why? Because me and my wife registered. That's why I know all the details. Okay, East Side 10K, September 24th. This is my goal in this coming few months, okay? So similarly, we all need to adopt a plan for Bible reading. And instead of picking a random Bible app, I encourage you, because we in Koinonia, we have developed something called Entering Through the Veil. And Entering Through the Veil is a devotional plan that helps you to cultivate the habit of reading God's Word regularly. You know, I even have this in the screen. So you can even scan it, see if it works. Yeah. And then you can go to the website. Well, I won't go to the detail because for the next few weeks, we will be probably go through more detail. But I just suggest that in the Entering the Veil, we have different plans. At the start, I encourage you to start the Gospel of Mark
which is the shortest gospel, and it's probably the easiest. It takes around 50 days to complete that. So by the time if you start reading the Gospel of Mark tomorrow, so by early August, you'll be able to finish that. So, and, right. So as I reflect on my own journey of reading the Bible, I always remember one special chapter in my life. Around 15 years ago, before I even joined Koinonia, my wife and I both adopted a reading plan called Time with Abba, which aimed to complete the whole the Bible in a year. On each day, we'll read different sections of the Bible, and also we will copy the Bible, and also we'll use the Bible to pray together and bless other people. And let me just share with you what I learned one day when I read Psalm 23. It was probably 10 years ago. I remember when I read, which is the first familiar psalm, but God kind of reminded me, hey, this is not just a psalm of David, but it is a comforting message from God the Father to His beloved Son. So let me just share with you what, after reading it, I wrote down, kind of paraphrase about this psalm. It says, my beloved Son, I am your shepherd. You shall never be in want. It is me who give you rest in green pasture. It is me who lead you beside quiet waters. I am the one who restore your soul. For my name's sake, I will guide you in the right path. Even though you are walking through the darkest hour, you will fear no evil. My child, I am with you. My rod and my staff, they are your comfort. In the presence of your enemies, I will prepare a banquet before you. I will anoint your head with precious oil. Your cup will always overflow. And surely my goodness and love will be following you every day of your life. And you will dwell in my house forever. As I meditate these psalms, God reminds me, hey, this is not just David writing a poem. This is God giving a message to His beloved child. And God also used this, what I wrote actually, to comfort a lot of people. Some people, they got cancer. Some people, they lost their loved one. And then I send this to them as an encouragement. So as we start this series about words to live by, let me encourage you to have a new start, to have a daily routine to read God's Word. 20 minutes a day is possible, is achievable. So let's bow down and have a word of prayer. Before we pray, let me give you a few points of reflection. What is filling up your mind and your soul? Is it the rich Word of God or some kind of media junk food? Is it the rich Word of God or some kind of media junk food? Let's stand and let's ask God to help us. Dear God, we thank you for this Exodus story once again. So Lord, as we reflect, there are way too many excuses that we tell you, we tell other people about not reading your word. But Lord, tonight, I want to pray for all of us tonight. Give us a new start. Give us a new beginning. Give us a fresh start to engage your word and help us to know you more and know you deeper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.